Jagadasami Kajai Kajai Srimandalasya Devi Kajai Samavira Bhakta Rindi Kajai Go Vrivananda Hanirgo. All glorious he assembled devotees, all glorious he assembled devotees, all glorious he assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shilobad Ki Jai. Okay, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, chapter 30, text 46. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Amasmasat
Vasmasat
Kriyamanam Tan
Druman
Visha Pitamaha Agataha Shamayam Asa Parishmataha Nayahai Vasma Sakriya Manamstana
Vasma Sakriya Manamstana
Druman Viksha Pitamaha
Viksha Pitamaha
Agatasha Agatashamayamasa Putran Bharishmato Nayahe Vasmat Sakriyamanam Shchatanam
Vasmat Sakriyamanam Shchatanam
Druman Viksha Pitamaha Agata Samayamasa Putran Bharishmato Nayahe Vasma Sakriyamanam
Stangam
Ruman Viksha Pitamaha Agata Samayamasa Putran Bharishmato Nayahe
Vasma Sakriya Manastha
Man Viksha Pitamaha
After seeing that all the trees on the surface of the earth were being burned to ashes, Lord Brahma immediately came to the sons of King Bahishman and pacified them with words of logic. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Whenever there is some uncommon occurrence on any planet, Lord Brahma, being in charge of the whole universe, immediately comes to control the situation. Lord Brahma also came when Hiranyakashipu underwent severe penances and austerities and made the whole universe tremble. A responsible man in any establishment is always alert to keep peace and harmony within the establishment. Similarly, Lord Brahma is also allowed to keep peace and harmony within this universe. He consequently pacified the sons of King Bahishman with good logic. Basma sat kriyamanas tan dhruvam vikshaptamaha agata shamayam asa utran bahishmato nairahi. So, Omagana Tivananda Shah. Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Urmiditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So, here we find the Prachetas getting very angry and burning all the trees because as they were engaged in meditation, all the trees cover the whole earth planet. And they're getting angry at the trees and burning the trees to ashes. It's not that they were in Maya, because they were actually thinking of the welfare of the citizens. Because if the whole earth is covered by trees, there's no place to grow vegetables, no place to grow things that are actually good for the people. And so it's not bad to cut down trees. However, it's bad to cut down trees for the meat industry. So for example, we were just studying this aspect of a challenge in the world that's happening today called global warming. Some of you may have heard of it. I don't know if you've heard of it. Anyway, even the Prime Minister, he's very concerned about this. So, one of the main reasons for global warming, actually, is people raising animals for slaughter. And they're doing a lot of things, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing. I mean, there's lakes of pig manure everywhere, which the environmental control, Ras Bihari's not controlling nicely. It's interesting. if you go to someone's house, then you have to set up a right septic tank and everything like that for them. For the pigs, they can make lakes. I don't know if it's like that in Fiji, but in America, they make lakes of manure. People are dying and getting cancer around these lakes, and there's no environmental control at all. It's crazy. So, that's, of course, contributing to global warming through the methane production. And then even worse than all that is that they're deforesting the world. In other words, they're clearing so many acres of land as described. 1 acre every second is being, let's say, opened up, the trees being cut down and burnt. It's called, in Brazil, it's called slash and burn. You ever heard of that before? In other words, you slash some of the big trees, make some money from them, and you burn it down. And then you can graze the cows that you're going to eat on that. So the problem with that is not only is it sinful to eat cows, because a cow is our mother, or any creature is sinful to eat, but these trees perform the service of absorbing the carbon dioxide in the air and producing oxygen. That's why it's so nice here, because you got all these nice trees around, and breathe fresh air, and you go to Suva, it's like... you have to go to the hospital, and you know the oxygen unit is... Even in some countries, in Japan actually, they sell little oxygen canisters. So when you can't breathe properly, you know, just not for people who are sick, I'm talking about normal people. So, you see this? So they carry it around with the pure oxygen. Oh, I feel better. So this is technological way to deal with cutting down all of the trees on the planet. This is like paradise here. Yesterday I was walking, I just looking at the mountains and the trees, and thinking, wow, this is... And many of the trees are pious here. A pious tree, of course, means a tree that gives fruit or gives shade, like that. And Prabhupada said you shouldn't cut down pious trees. I was with Prabhupada one time in Dallas, Texas, and devotees had cut down this really nice shade tree. And because it was hitting the top of the temple, Prabhupada got very angry and he pointed and says, "Who's done that?" He said, "But Prabhupada, it was touching the roof." "A rascal." Yeah, it was like that. I mean, everyone was shocked. You know, "We're just trying to protect the roof of the temple, Prabhupada." Prabhupada was really angry because it was a nice shade tree. Whereas you have other trees, like certain types of pine trees don't produce any shade. And they can be used, of course, they can be used for building materials. Very, very nice building materials. And other trees are used for building materials. But in any case, trees are living entities, and they're pious trees and impious trees, according to Śrīla Prabhupāda. Now, it's not wrong that they were burning down all the trees, but they became, because they wanted people to grow vegetables in this particular case. Oh, let me talk. I already talked about that. But they got carried away with their anger. They were burning down all the trees. So sometimes, in our devotional service, we get carried away. You know, it's all right to get angry sometimes, but if you let anger take over you and you become like Lord Nrsimhadeva, it's not very good. And there's other examples of this too in the Vedic literatures about people getting angry and letting anger take over. Like we have the example of Maharaj Janamejaya. Maharaj Janamejaya is the son of Maharaj Parikshit. And as you know, Maharaj Parikshit was killed by the bite of the snake bird. Actually, the snake bird didn't kill him. He left his body in meditation first. But anyway, the snake bird, Takshika, killed or attacked the body of Maharaj Parikshit, and when he bit it, the body just like instantly was cremated. It's an interesting story. Oh, let me tell a little bit of that story, because that's interesting too. That when Takshika was on his way, Takshika was really angry, first of all, with the Pandavas and all their descendants, because previously Arjuna and Krishna had burned down the Kandava Prast, the forest. And his wife, Tashika's wife and children were living there. And many snakes died. Tashika was on vacation at that time, so he didn't get burned down. He was injured or something like that. So he was just like always seething with anger at the Pandavas. You know, I'm going to get you sooner or later, you know, because it's a snake. Prabhupada said it's like a trampled snake. And there's even examples in India where you kill one snake, like the devotees found one male snake in Prabhupada's quarters in Mayapur. And they kill the snake, and Prabhupada said, you got to find his wife, his mate. You know, obviously, there's no wife, he's not married, but anyway, you got to find his wife. I mean, the devotee said, why? Because the wife will go after you. Because somehow or other, when the snake dies, he's able to capture the image of the person who killed him. You heard of this before? And then, there's even been instances of the snake, you don't have snakes here, unfortunately, of the snake like sneaking into someone's baggage and on the airplane. And when someone unpacks their bags after they get home, bingo, the snake comes. It kills you. So, anyway, so snakes many times are angry. Although there's a remedy to not be attacked by snakes, and you worship Govardhan. If you worship Govardhan and perform Govardhan puja properly, snakes will never bother you. I mean, for example, one time I was at Govardhan, and the electrician was fixing the electrical box in my house, and he took out the electrical box, and out of the box came cobra. And I just said, Hare Krishna. No, I didn't. I ran away. Not that bold. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Anyway, so the point is the snakes do get angry, and they are poisonous. But if you worship Govardhan, then Krishna will protect you from the snakes. So anyway, so Tashika, he was always wanting to get even with the Pandavas, with burning down his whole forest. And it was Krishna too who actually helped with that, because Krishna, Sudarshan Chakra killed everybody wanting to escape. Anyway, this whole Mayadhanava was also in the forest, but he was protected. And then he built the assembly house for the Pandavas. So then eventually he got the opportunity when this young Brahmin boy, Srindi, cursed Parikshit Maharaj to die from the bite of the snake bird. So he, on the way to kill Maharaj Parikshit, he ran into his father. His father's name was Kashyapa. Kashyapa was the father of all the snakes by Kadru, one of his wives. So he ran in, and Kashyapa was getting ready to save Maharaj Parikshit because he had the remedy for Tashika's poison. So, and Tashika knew this. So he ran into his father. He said, Pita Shri, you know, whatever. I'm on the way. And Kashyapa said, I have the remedy for your poison. And Tashika said, let's see. And Tashika bit this tree. He bit a tree, and the tree actually burst into flames and then ashes in practically 10 seconds, or 1 second, whatever it was. And Kashyap, he poured whatever he poured on the tree, and the tree came back to life. And Tashika was thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm supposed to kill Maharaj Parikshit. So what he did is he gave his father, like people do in India, he gave his father a bribe. That's described in the Vedic literature. You heard that story before? And his father says, okay, I won't go. So bribing in India has a particular history, parampara. Although we don't like it, sometimes you have to do it. So, anyway, so he bit Maharaj Pritchard's body. Maharaj Pritchard was in ashes. And Maharaj Pritchard's son, Janamejaya, was in charge. So Maharaj Janamejaya, he really wanted to kill Tashika. But he also became angry at all the snakes, you know, with generalized anger. This is showing a danger. Even a pure devotee like him, he became angry at all the snakes, and so he performed this sapo yagya. That means all the snakes were actually falling into the fire, being burned by the fire. And so he was swaha, sarpo, swaha, or whatever mantra was. And they were all being burned now, in the fire. And then he didn't see Tatsuka. The reason was that Tatsuka was being protected by Indra. Indra and him were good friends. Somehow or other, they made friendship. Or Indra also tried to prevent the burning of the Kandava forest, too. But he couldn't stand up to Krishna and Arjuna, even though Arjuna was Indra's son. So then Maharaj Janamanjaya said, you should chant the mantra that Indra should fall into the fire, along with Takshika. So the Brahmanas started to chant Indraya, Takshikaya, Swaha. So Ashtika arrived at the scene just in time. He was a Brahmin boy, because he was the son of a snake lady and a Brahmin man. And similar thing happens with the Vamanadeva story, where Lord Vamanadeva was able to get charity from Bali Maharaj because he was a Brahmin. So this Ashtika asked Janamanjaya to stop the sacrifice. Don't kill any more snakes. And Janamanjaya, being very Vedic and respecting the Brahmins, said, all right, I'll stop it. So Tatsuka didn't get killed, whereas many snakes did get killed. But the point of the story is that Maharaj Janamanjaya's anger sort of ran away with him in that case, because he was killing all the snakes, innocent snakes. You know, the innocent snakes. Why kill all the snakes for the fault of one? And you find this sometimes too, like in these wars between different races in different countries. You know, someone makes a mistake and then one race starts to hate the other race and then you have this conflagration. So there's another story in the Vedic literature about this. This is a story about Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj was very angry at the Yakshas, because the Yakshas had killed his brother, Uttama. And he loved his brother, you know, even though the brother was the son of Suruchi, and he was the son of Suditi. But anyway, Dhruva Maharaj, when he became a pure devotee, gave up, you know, this passionate, like, trying to be better than his brother business. So his brother was killed by the Yakshas. And then Dhruva Maharaj thought, you know, I got to kill all the Yakshas. So he went there, he was killing all the Yakshas. And also his killing all the Yakshas had to be stopped, because he was just like uncontrolled anger. So you find that sometimes, that it's showing how dangerous anger is. And even with the Lord, of course this is a pastime, I'm not criticizing Krishna. But when Krishna appeared as Lord Nrsimhadeva, it's described that he was so angry that even nobody could pacify him. I mean, Lakshmi couldn't go near her husband. Can you imagine that? That someone's so angry that the wife can't go near the husband. Oh my God, it's my husband. Any of you ladies ever experienced that? That you couldn't go near your husband because he was... Don't answer the question. So, anyway, Lakshmi couldn't pacify him, Lord Shiva couldn't pacify him, Lord Brahma couldn't pacify him, and he was getting ready practically to destroy the whole universe. And he was angry. Lord Nrsimhadeva was angry for a good purpose, because his devotee, Pallad Maharaj, had been offended. Not only offended, threats on his life. And, you know, he was ready, Nrsimhadeva, Bhagavan, was ready to kill all the demons. And probably, you know, the whole universe practically, you know, he's so angry. And so there was only one remedy. They had to seek out a remedy. In this case, it wasn't Lord Brahma. It was Pallad Maharaj. So Pallad Maharaj, but then immediately Lord Nrsimha became pacified. And he put Prahlad Maharaj on his lap, and he actually was licking him. It's described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, like a cat. Now, if any of you have seen a cat, because you don't keep pets here. But in America, everybody keeps a pet. And so the cat licks you. That's love. Or the dog. It's a perverted reflection of the dog licking you with his moochy mouth that he's been eating stool with. So he licks you and you think, oh, he loves me. He's kissing me. But in this particular case, Lord Nrsimhadev actually loved Prahlad Maharaj. He loves his devotees. And so that pacified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he began to bless everybody. He had wonderful discussion with Prahlad Maharaj, as mentioned in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prahlad Maharaj says, I don't want anything. Lord Nrsimhadev was offering him everything, and then Prahlad Maharaj ultimately said, please save my father. He said, I am overcome with compassion for all the living entities. This is a pure devotee. It's very, very interesting. And then other times, I can think of so many stories where anger just like overwhelms even good people. There's a story in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where Indra, the demigods, they were fighting the demons, and they actually just about wiped out all the demons. And Lord Brahma had to stop them. He said, don't wipe out the demons. So you may say, why not wipe out the demons? What's wrong with killing every demon? Well, the demigods, they need demons. Why do you say that? Because how else will they remain Krishna conscious? Right? I mean, if you take away all problems, nobody will be Krishna conscious in this world. Isn't it? Without opposition, where's the chance for glorious victory? Without opposition, what's the impetus for us to chant Hare Krishna? There'd be no preaching. Imagine if everybody in the world was Krishna conscious. I mean, it'd be sort of nice. But there'd be no challenges. I mean, just like, I mean, let's say if one is playing soccer, used to play soccer. Still do? Maybe. So then if there's no other teams, you're not going to be a very good soccer player, are you? What do you think? If you have no one to play with, it's just like, I mean, it's just like there's stories of demons who just like had no one to fight with, and they would just beat their hands against mountains, just out of frustration. So, you need, I mean, just to refine your abilities, you need some opposition. And so with the demigods, because everything's so nice in the heavenly planets, they would never surrender to Krishna. Because you find the story again and again and again, when the demigods are threatened, they go to Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma goes to Vishnu, there's an incarnation, and they defeat whatever demon happened to take birth, or whatever group of demons happened to take birth. And then demigods go back, they fall into Maya again, then there's... Isn't it a repeating thing you read about in the Bhagavatam? The demigods fall into Maya, they neglect their spiritual master even. I mean, there's a story one time that Brihaspati walked into the assembly house and Indra was there sitting in his throne with his wife, Sachi, and didn't even say hi, Gurudev, to him. Isn't it? Talk about complacency. His guru walks in, you know, big Brihaspati walks in and he's with his wife. He says, isn't this nice, dear? We're sitting here being worshipped by the demigods and the guru's there. He said, Hare Krishna, here I am, you know. And so Brihaspati just walks out and Indra loses all of his power, the demons become more powerful. So there's a need of demons. As they say, there has to be a balance. If anyone's seen Star Wars, there has to be a balance in the force in the universe. There has to be demons. So therefore, you find that was an interesting case where Lord Brahma stopped the demigods from killing demons because the demigods became overcome by anger. So what we can learn from all these things is that even if all these great personalities become overcome with anger, we have to be very careful with anger. I mean, sometimes anger is necessary. Like if you're dealing with someone who is blaspheming the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotees, then it's actually good to become angry. I mean, there's injunctions that you should either leave the place, defeat the person, or cut out his tongue, but don't cut out his tongue. Don't do that. That's not a good idea. You've been Fiji Times, you know, Hare Krishna devotees cut people's tongues. Tonguectomy. But there's injunctions like that. Then you're supposed to get angry. If you just sit, if some nonsense is going on, and you just sit there, oh, Hare Krishna. I love you, peace and love. That's not good. You've got to get disturbed. At that point, it's actually sinful not to get disturbed. If you can chastise the person, like probably you see did that sometimes. He got angry. And the people didn't understand. They thought, well, he's supposed to be spiritual. Why is he getting angry? But actually, a spiritual person should get angry, just like a parent gets angry if their child is attacked. So a spiritual person, if Krishna, who they love more than anything else, is blasphemed. Like if I say about your child, the child is ugly. What will you do? You get angry. You get very angry. I mean, that's a normal response. So if you say about Krishna, he has no arms, he has no legs, he has no eyes, he's formless. Imagine you said that about your child. He has no eyes, no legs, he's formless. The formless child. You get angry. So getting angry is good in those circumstances, but one has to be very careful not to be controlled by that anger, not to let it overcome one. Because it can destroy your whole Krishna consciousness. Like we saw last night, telling the story about Viswamitra Muni, isn't it? There was one part of the story where the bird passed stool on his head. You know, birds pass stool all the time. Of course, when you're in Govardhan, don't walk under a tree where there's a monkey, because the monkey's deliberately passing urine on your head. They are rascals. But let's say a bird. Bird is not thinking, oh, there's a sage under the tree. Let me just give him a little drop on his head. So Viswamitra Muni, the bird does it by accident, because birds don't have that sort of control. Anyone who's raised birds knows that. So Viswamitra Muni got angry and he burnt the bird to ashes. And he lost all of his tejas. So this anger is just all devouring, sinful enemy, lust, anger, greed, you know. The gateways to hell, according to the Bhagavad Gita, we have to control them. They can be used. You can use lust in Krishna consciousness, and Krishna consciousness can have nice children. You can be greedy, you can want more and more for Krishna, right? More devotees. Just like it's described in the chapter, Divine and Demoniac Nature. The demon is thinking, so much wealth do I have today, so much more will I get tomorrow, he's my enemy, I've conquered him. So you could also use that in Krishna's service. You know, so many temples do we have today, so many more we have tomorrow. We have distributed so many books, we have made so many devotees. But you have to be careful, because it can overcome you with passion and ignorance. That's the danger. Dealing in the material world, Prabhupada said, using the example of a fisherman, that you have to be very expert to catch a big fish without getting wet. So when we're dealing with this world, we have to be extremely careful not to be overcome with the modes of nature that we may be using in Krishna's service. So here's that statement of the Prachetas having that particular issue. They were right to burn down some trees, but not all the trees. And Lord Brahma is coming to save the day. So any questions or comments? Or arguments. No problems. No? That's beautiful.
Srila Prabhupada mentioned that the mosquito has the poison in the head.
Yes.
Scorpion has the poison in the tail. But the envious person has poison all over the body.
That's right.
So how to heal?
Get them to chant Hare Krishna. That's the remedy. Bhavoshara Shotra Manoa Birama Kautama Shlavya Gudanabhaja. Isn't it? You know that verse. That's practically the nutshell verse for the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it says, Nibritta Tarsha Upagyamana Bhavosha Shotamana Upagyamat Guptama Shloka Gnana Vada Puman Vita Jeta Puna Pushyamat. That this pastimes of Krishna can alleviate all the material miseries. And basically, it's the remedial measure for these things. And then, of course, the last verse is the only person who won't be attracted to them will be the killers of animals, Pashyamat. So, last part of the verse. So, basically, we have to expose people to the holy names. I mean, look at the prostitute in Haridas Thakur. What happened to her? She became a great devotee. Look at Jagai and Madai. They became great devotees just by getting drunk outside of the kirtan. So we should open up a bar here. Right next to the temple. Yes. Why not? So the people can get drunk and they can hear the holy name while they're getting drunk. And then they'll be cured. What do you think? What do you think of that strategy? Yeah, no. Just open a bar. Nightclub. And have them chant Hare Krishna as part of the songs. You know, they can dance in their drunken state and chant Hare Krishna and they'll become purified. So the holy name is the remedial measure that can turn a demon into a devotee. Of course, in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada also said that demons and the devotees are the same body. It's not like so distinct. Like in the previous yoga, I mean, Duryodhana was definitely demoniac. But now, you know, it's hard to say. It's, I don't even know if I've actually run into an actual demon in my lifetime. I run into people who have demoniac tendencies, but I don't think I've run into a demon. So they're all, there's no incurable case. You understand? There's no fatal case. If you're advanced enough, if you're pure devotee, you can preach to someone who's envious. But if you're just a Majjhimadhikari, you know, stick to the people already. So we need some Uttamadhikaris around. So any other questions?
You also mentioned about that if somebody doesn't leave immediately where the place where a devotee is criticized, he loses all the merit of his pious activities.
His pious activities.
And says that, the word that says you cut the tongue.
Yeah.
Is anyone has cut the
tongue? No. No, it that is metaphorical. Basically, that means defeating the person. Just like Jiva Goswami, he was confronted with this Digvijayi, who was criticizing Sanatana Rupa Goswami. The story goes that Sanatana Rupa Goswami were challenged by this pundit. And they didn't want to just like waste their time arguing with some stupid pundit. So they just signed something called the Jayapatra, which means victory certificate. Jayapatra. And so this particular pundit, he went to Srila Jiva Goswami and said, I have defeated your uncles. Ha ha ha. And Srila Jiva Goswami could not tolerate it. And so he said, well, you haven't defeated me. And so he just like wiped the guy. The guy, when he was finished, this particular individual had a call of nature, you know. He had to run to the forest to pass through because he was so upset. And so that was nice. The thing that Jiva Goswami got chastised for was bragging about it. You understand? Because he went to his uncles at Sanatana Rupa Goswami and said, I have defeated him. Anybody? And they said, you took sannyas too early. Anybody who's prideful should not be a sannyasi. So, yeah, we should defeat the person. And if you're not capable of defeating the person, find someone who is. And then just avoid it, run away. But it's our duty to defend Krishna, not to... You know, if someone you love is criticized, how can you just stand by? Like a mother who stands by hearing her child criticized is not a mother. You know, mothers should defend their children. I mean, even I've seen... Like sometimes the child will get a low grade in school, and then the mothers will go to the school and start yelling at the teacher. Did that ever happen to you? It happens?
Sometimes.
Sometimes your mother, it happens. I'm like, you rascal teacher! My son is brilliant! Maybe he has an IQ of 10, but anyway, he's brilliant. Or the Prabhupada said the mother sees the blind child as lotus padmalochana, you know. So that, because it's love. That's normal. I think that's good. I mean, if mother didn't love the child would be in trouble. So we love Krishna in the same way. So if our Krishna is criticized, boom, we become like fire. Not physically, you know, verbally. We control our anger. And we just, like, we just can't tolerate it. Because we love Krishna. Otherwise, how can you say you love Krishna? If he's criticizing you, don't do anything about it. Then you don't love. Love means you protect the person and the person's reputation. Okay. Is that it? So it's time for greeting the deities. We want to thank everybody for watching. We have a lot of people online watching now, too. This is very nice. Nandraj, Rishikesh, Leela Mundry, Vrindavan Chandra. You remember Vrindavan Chandra? I remember him from 30 years ago.